The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Feast of St. Matthias for you here today. St. Matthias, the apostle who was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot as one of the 12. And because Matthias was chosen to replace Judas Iscariot, when you see a depiction of the apostles in artwork, you'll see Matthias included among them as one of the 12. But of the 12 apostles, St. Matthias is the one about whom we know the least. In fact, the only time his name is ever mentioned in all the Bible is here in our first reading from Acts of the Apostles. Name is mentioned just once. We know that St. Matthias was chosen to be an apostle. We know that he was martyred. And that's about it. Some people say that Matthias was martyred in Jerusalem. Still others say Georgia. Others say Ethiopia. Fact is, we just don't know. What we do know, though, about Matthias is how he was chosen. And this is the great help to faith that is today's feast day, because it shows that Jesus really is active and operative, working in his church. You see, the apostles knew that believing in Jesus would be easier than believing that Jesus was at work in his church. They knew that. It was going to be hard. And this is why St. Luke wrote the book Acts of the Apostles. I've probably mentioned this before, but did you know that Acts of the Apostles is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke? Luke is part one, Acts is part two, and the point of it is to show that what Jesus did in the world, the church is still doing today. That's the whole point. Today's feast day makes that emphatically clear with the election of St. Matthias now as the first successor to the apostles. Now, when we gather for Mass and when we recite the Creed, we recite the line, "I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church." Question for you here this morning. When we say we believe the church is apostolic, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means three things, okay? It means three things. First thing it means is that Jesus founded his church on the apostles. You know, he chose to found his church on frail human instruments. Jesus never wrote a book. Jesus never left behind a constitution. What did Jesus do? He founded a church, and he deliberately founded this church on his frail human instruments, on apostles. Now, this is God's style. God rarely acts directly in his creation and almost always delegates his work of love and care and grace to his creatures, to his creation. For example, I hope you have a great relationship with your angel guardian, because most of God's care for you in your life has been delegated to your guardian angel. And for that matter, you can do a lot of good by praying to the guardian angels of other people, especially people you have a hard time getting along with. People can be very difficult to get along with, but guardian angels are much easier to get along with. Why can you intercede for someone and communicate with someone by speaking through the intercession of the guardian angel? Because God delegates. He rarely acts directly. Parents, for example, have been delegated by God as his co-workers in his act of creation. Do parents create new life? They do not create new life. What do? They procreate new life. Because only God can give you a soul, but God freely chooses to work through frail human instruments, his parents, in continuing his act of creation. And parents will be the very first ones to admit that they are not perfect, full of flaws, and yet God still works through them. Should it come as any surprise to you then that when Jesus founded his church, he founded his church on frail human instruments, full of flaws, and he still works through them? You know, I know it's disappointing when you're disappointed in your church leadership, but maybe you'd be a little bit less disappointed if you lowered your expectations a little bit and realized that God has chosen to work through these human instruments. That's the first thing we mean when we say the church is apostolic. Here's the second. In spite of the fact that they're frail human instruments, the Holy Spirit guarantees the deposit of faith will be handed on firmly, faithfully, and without error. What does that mean? That means that what Jesus taught his apostles, the church is still teaching today. I don't care how much they screw up, they can't screw up that. It's guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. That's the second thing we mean when we say the church is apostolic. And here's the third. It means that the church today is governed by successors to the apostles. And these are known as the bishops. If you had good enough documentation, you could document in a direct, unbroken line of succession the ordination of every bishop in the church today back to the apostles. Myself, I've done my own research. I can research my own ordination back 500 years. 500 years before the documents peter out. But if you had the proper documentation, we believe they really are successors to the apostles. And we heard it in our first reading. They need to find a successor. What do? 120 people gather together, pray for guidance, cast their ballot. And they chose Matthias. You know, the same thing happens every time we choose a pope. What happens every time we choose a new pope? 120 people gather together, pray for guidance, cast their ballot. Now, here's the operative question of the day. When the bishops choose a new pope, or when the church chooses a new bishop, do they always choose the one that the Holy Spirit wants them to choose? Do they always choose the Holy Spirit's choice? Answer, not necessarily. Right? If we said that every pope and every bishop was the Holy Spirit's choice, we'd have a lot of splaining to do, wouldn't we? Yes, we would. But just because the Holy Spirit doesn't necessarily directly choose every single one doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't still at work. Does the Holy Spirit inspire the choice? Yes. Do they necessarily follow the Holy Spirit's guidance? Not always. But does the Holy Spirit always work through the one who was chosen? The answer to that is emphatically yes. Please believe this as a cornerstone of your faith. Jesus Christ will not abandon his church. Jesus Christ will always be there to guide his church. And no matter how frail the human instruments might be, human frailty is never so weak that it can defeat God's power. Let's keep that in mind as we ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Matthias, pray for us.